Bailout's Big Night.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. It looks like this evening will bring some movement to the government's $700 billion financial rescue plan. The Senate's set to vote on the package. This version of the plan is wider reaching than the bill the House voted down earlier in the week. Marketplace's Steve Henn is standing by in Washington with the details of the latest goodies in this thing.
Goodie number one is expanding FDIC insurance coverage, which we knew was coming. They're going to more than double the cap to cover $250,000 in savings accounts. Goodie number two, they're going to give the SEC sort of a magic wand to suspend some accounting rules. The SEC could wave this wand and banks could value these mortgage-backed securities a different way. That would bring potentially billions of dollars in assets back onto the books of these banks and make this insolvency crisis just go away. Now, there are some strong arguments against it, but the SEC, if this passes, will have the power to do that. And then they put in a couple sweeteners that really have nothing to do with the financial crisis at all. One is a set of tax credits for renewable energy, and the second is a temporary patch for the alternative minimum tax.
Well, it sounds like this may be more attractive to some Republicans, but not necessarily Democrats.
Yeah, fiscally conservative Democrats are likely to have a problem with this. That's right. Some other Democrats might not, but, you know, if your number one issue is the budget, the federal budget is out of control, this just makes a tough bill to vote for even tougher.
Everything we're hearing right now seems to point to the Senate passing this pretty easily this evening. What if it doesn't pass?
I think if it doesn't pass, there could be some seriously upset bankers around the world. But we'll just have to wait and see.
All right. Marketplace's Steve Henn with the latest from Washington. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, credit markets remain strained this morning. We also just learned manufacturing activity contracted for a second month to the lowest level since October 2001. The Dow is down 210 points, nearly 2% to 10,640. The Nasdaq also down nearly 2%, 40 points to 2051. The S&P 500 is down 24 points, just over 2% to 1142. President Bush just signed a bill authorizing $25 billion in loans to American automakers. The loans are aimed at helping Detroit make more fuel-efficient cars. But as Sarah Gardner reports from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, don't expect a sudden flurry of zero-emission cars.
U.S. automakers face falling revenues and mountains of debt. Business professor Peter Morici says these loans simply help the big three pay down some debt and make the smaller, more fuel-efficient cars they've already planned, like GM's all-electric Chevy Volt.
They don't have time to develop new prototypes. That would take 4 to 5 years. To get something on the shelf, they have to rely on what they have, and they're already moving forward.
But government red tape could delay these loans for months. Auto analyst David Healy at Burnham Securities says the industry can afford to wait a bit.
Even GM in a tough market can get through 09, so they don't need the money this morning.
Critics of the Chrysler bailout in 1979 complain it enabled business as usual. But auto expert David Cole says it's too late for American automakers to renege on cleaner cars. New fuel economy standards are looming, beginning in the 2011 model year. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by the American Public Transportation Association, committed to helping Americans save on gas and become energy independent at publictransportation.org.
Another consequence of the credit freeze is we're not seeing as many startups go public. A new study today shows the days of one IPO after another are gone. Mitchell Hartman has more from the Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting.
Today's report from the National Venture Capital Association isn't pretty. In the third quarter, there was precisely one VC-backed initial public offering. In the second quarter, there were none. That hasn't happened for 30 years. Mark Heeson is the association's president.
Thus far, we have 6 venture-backed IPOs for the year. Normally, we should have at least 75 at this point. So 6 is something that we simply have never seen before.
An IPO is one of the ways that venture capitalists cash out on their investments. The fewer IPOs, the less willing VCs may be to invest in startups at an early stage. Heeson says launching a company that you've nurtured onto the stock market to stand on its own has always been considered a home run in the VC game, and not just because it's a moneymaker.
You have to look at what companies do when they go public. They become important corporate citizens. You know, I look at Dell and I think, what would Austin be today without Dell? What would have happened if Google or eBay had been bought instead of gone public?
But with IPOs drying up, selling out to a bigger player is often the way to go. Intel might gobble up a hot software startup. Merck could buy a company with a promising drug in clinical trials. Bob Ward runs Capybara Ventures in Portland.
Everybody's looking for a leg up on competition. Large tech really relies on the small players, on small fast movers, innovators, to provide the next generation.
And VCs have continued to funnel cash into hot fields like biotech, the internet, and clean technology. Mike Hoffman hopes some of that money will flow his way. His startup, PowerMand, develops tools to improve energy efficiency.
And it just so happens we're in one of those markets that really matters, the sustainability area. So we kind of think that if we can get past this hump of actually having revenue, that we will be a very attractive venture target.
Until the VCs agree, though, his company will just have to last a little longer on the founder's own money and funds from friends and family, usually the first investors to risk their shirts in any startup. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Thanks for listening. Have a good day. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.